Bob's World. Bob's World. Soccer.
All right, Bob's World is brought to you by Bob's World.
American Leak Detection.
And here he is back from the UK, Bob.
Bob's World.
It was another successful trip to England, a place I so enjoy. And took Justin on Soccer Journey 2025 across the pond this past week. We got back yesterday. And it was his first time in that direction. And we got to see some of his favorite football players in person. And we went to three matches. And it was just as great as it always is. And, man, what a fun.
Did he have a ball?
He had the best time. He was with, like, my normal crew of dudes, all roughly my age. And so there's probably something to that, is going along with dad and his friends.
There were no other youths on this particular edition?
There was a drop-in youth in his mid-20s, as Lookabaugh's son was with us, but they had to join us a little later, and so it wasn't full-time. But yeah, they did join us for Saturday and Sunday, and that was the big meat of the trip. But it was just the best, because London is so cool. If you've never been there, I highly recommend that city, in terms of if you want to go to a foreign land and see lots of historically significant things. But everybody still speaks English, or at least a version of it, or probably the original version, if I may be so bold. But
why don't you guys talk American?
You guys are talking American. I wouldn't be shocked if we had a language called American at some point real soon, so who knows. But anyway, as of now, you wander over there, and so we tried something that I wouldn't recommend, which is fly overnight and then go to a night match the first day, because of course acclimating to the massive time shift and of course the difficulty of an overnight flight, you're just wanting a bed the second you land.
How long is that train ride? I forget.
The train ride is 2:30, 2:40 to Liverpool. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, yeah. So you went back and forth twice, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So you landed, got right on the train?
Yeah, you take the Heathrow Express into London, then you take the tube over to Euston Station, and then you get on your train to Liverpool. And so that all happened as we're still carrying our bags from the airport. You know,
so you were wiped out?
Yeah, you can't get into a London hotel until Thursday night. So the first night we stayed in Liverpool, and if you're going to do that, you probably should just fly to Liverpool or maybe to Manchester. But anyway, it's the logistics could always be better. But we go up there the first day and we see a night match at Liverpool, which is Liverpool Everton, which is the Merseyside derby, which is the longest running series in English soccer that goes back to like 1892, and this was the 246th meeting between the two teams, and it's just the best. It's a fun rivalry divided by 500 yards, and the two teams have all sorts of history. They were one club originally. Everton played at Anfield at first, and then somehow Liverpool branched off Everton. But Liverpool got to keep Anfield, and so Everton opened Goodison Park like in 1892 or something. I don't know. I was wondering if an Everton guy knew the actual history. Because I think they claim that they invented the sport or something like that as part of the back and forth. But anyway, it's a really cool thing up there in that city.
Yeah, the whole city, you're either red or you're blue. And
right.
All of those row houses, like, they'll have flags in the window or whatever.
It's so great. And so, yeah, on Saturday, we wanted to get to Everton Stadium. And Everton plays. See, I figured it out. So I went to three stadiums on this trip, and all of them were open. The youngest one was built in 1896. That's the youngest one. The oldest one goes back to 1888. So all of these stadiums are 130 to 140 years old. And, you know, the seats are small. There's no suites. The bathrooms. Oh. So have you gone to a match at Goodison?
Yes.
Okay.
I sat in the behind the goal.
Okay.
I can't remember which street stand. I think the Gladys Street end.
Okay. Do you remember anything about your bathroom experience?
I don't.
Okay. So
are they like worse than the original Cotton Bowl before the...
Well, we were just talking about
like troughs and walls. Yeah.
Dude, so first, an admission. When we went to Goodison Park, I just told the guy, give me the best tickets you can get. And as long as it's not insane, I just want to buy the best tickets to be in a place that's about to close. I want to splurge, okay? Yeah. So I think they ended up being 225 pounds each. So, you know, expensive, but whatever. You save for a rainy
Very
day.
Doable.
Yeah, and so we were in the seventh row, basically at midfield. It was the coolest thing ever. Like, you're almost not sitting on the bench. And so again, these are the real, real, real nice seats. Got to go to the bathroom. So I said, you know what? We got 15 minutes till kickoff. I'm going to run to the men's room. Do you want to go? No, go ahead. So I go off by myself. And men's room, okay, this way, down these stairs, okay. So you walk in, and I'm telling you, it's a room like this square. So what are we in, 20 by 20?
Yeah.
Okay, on this wall, wall number one, you have two sinks. Wall number two, wall number three, and wall number four are basically just walls with drains. And you might say, well, what happens if you need to go number two? I don't know. There were no toilets. There were walls and drains. And so the other three walls, guys are basically pocket to pocket standing next to each other with no divider and just old Willie. And it's just crossing streams and who knows what. But that's how we went potty 140 years ago, guys.
So low rent.
Honestly, a wall with a drain, you can't get more low rent.
No.
That requires no budget. You don't finish it out with great little furnishings or anything like that. No, it's just a wall.
And, you know, like, it would cost these clubs, and I guess the fear is for however many of these teams, clubs have these types of bathrooms, it'd cost them $50,000 to outfit them with just partitions separating human beings. But their fear is what? That they just get torn down?
Well, their fear is we have no space. We built these stadiums around row houses and around streets, and we don't have an inch to spare in any direction.
Yeah, so if you put in partitions, then like 8 dudes can go at one time, whereas now like 20 dudes can go at one time.
Yes, that's exactly right. And when everybody needs to go at halftime, it must just be anarchy.
Yes.
Yeah. And
literally.
They only, I mean, part of it is they only sell beer before the game and at halftime.
Yes. And.
Oh, they do sell at half. I didn't know that.
Well, you just can't bring it into the seating.
Yeah. Okay. You can go and slam it in the concourse.
And they do.
No, I bet.
And so, I mean, this is the whole thing about going over there is they only care about one thing, their football club. And so I'm showing Justin all this, and this is his first trip, so it's all moving very fast for him. But I've now done this 10 times. I've been to, like, almost 30 English football games in my little run here in the last 20 years. And I never get tired of it, but I just it's just weird being embedded with these people that, like, I sat next to an Everton fan, and for a day I'm just going to be Everton guy. I'm not wearing the gear, but I'm in their seats, and I just want to be...
Well, and we were doing you a favor trying to take a point from Arsenal.
Absolutely, and you did. You took two from Arsenal, and I appreciate you doing that. And so, but I'm talking to him, and he's like 63. And he says he's been coming here since he was 7 because his parents had tickets, and now he does, and he brought his daughter. And he had the filthiest mouth for somebody sitting with their daughter, let me just say. Just incredible use of all the F-bombs and a couple C-bombs and just everything through. Every call was against us, and every one of our players is effing rubbish, and just the whole bit. It's just... But everybody in there has been coming to these matches their entire life. And then we rode with the Arsenal fans up to the match, and I'm telling you, we're surrounded by Arsenal fans, and they all know each other. And they're all talking about, okay, hey, are you sorted for Bournemouth? Are you going to Madrid for the Champions? Who's go? And they're basically figuring out how they're getting tickets and hotels and flights for their whole life is when is Arsenal's next match? I don't know how they have the budgets for this because
well, I can tell you how they have the budget for it because it's the only team.
Yeah.
Whereas you may be like, all right, I'm going to go see a Texas A&M game and then a Packer game.
Right.
And then I'm going to fly to England to see this game. And then I'm going to the Bucks.
Right.
Like, you've got like 10 teams.
I know.
They have one.
They have one.
Every dollar goes to one.
And every Saturday, that's what they do is they hop on a train and they go somewhere in England and they drink as much as they can. Starting at 7 a.m. when their train leaves, they start pounding them. And they go all
day.
Can
you bring beer on the train?
Oh, yeah. I don't think you can, but you do.
Yeah.
They sell it on the train.
You know what? You're right. Okay. They do sell
they
it on the train.
Car. Yeah.
That's exactly right. And so they're stacked forever. And so, yeah, these guys, you know, and the train ticket to Everton, I think round trip was £120. So what is that? $180 or something? Something
yeah,
along
I don't
those
know what
lines.
The rate is now.
But I mean, you start adding these things up. Now the ticket prices stay really low if you have season tickets. And that's something these franchises deal with. So I guess the roundabout thing I'm trying to express here is, the best stadiums there are the old ones. And the best stadiums in our country, I think, are the old ones as well. But the new ones make money because they can build suites and they can build clubs that people want to pay $200 a plate to dine and then go to the game or go. That's how you build revenue. But the experience and the atmosphere and the soul of these experiences are all in these places that were built over 100 years ago.
So will the new Goodison have big bathrooms and
oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's on the dock. It's on the waterfront. It looks gorgeous, but
it does.
But they've tried they kind of like we were talking about with Mark the Intuit Dome for the Clippers
yeah.
and how they built the wall that the new Everton, the Bramley Dock Stadium, they pitched all of the seating up so everybody's still on top of the field.
And they all hope that the new place still has life in it. But I'm telling you, I've been to Arsenal's old place and their new place. The old place is 100 times better. Now, it probably doesn't make any money, and the new place makes a ton.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, for an experience, to feel alive, to feel like this is why I cross an ocean to watch sports, that was at the old place. The new place, generic. I might as well go to a Carolina Panthers game.
Right.
And the same with Tottenham. White Hart Lane was amazing. The new Tottenham Stadium, spare.
Do they tear the old ones down?
Like yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
they'll tear it down.
They're gone. Upton Park is gone. West Ham's old place. That place was awesome. You know, so Goodison.
But they're going to do the same thing that we do.
Goodison Park is closing in three more matches in like five more weeks, and it's a shame. Now, hopefully the new place will be cool, but it won't be the same because that place is the only place they've ever played, and it opened decades before World War I. And so I don't know what the answer is because I'm telling you, I was so happy to be there Saturday. It was so great.
Well, and you mentioned the people that have been going there their entire life.
Yes.
And they've been sitting next to the same people their entire life.
That's right.
And I was reading about that's been the biggest, I guess, hurdle for a lot of people is buying their seats in the new stadium. They go over and they pick them out, but they don't know where their friends are picking their seats.
Oh, wow.
And so they have these lifelong friends, and then they're going to end up on opposite sides of the stadium.
Yeah.
That's weird, and it probably goes back generations, too. It's
yeah.
not just that
oh, absolutely.
Particular family.
Absolutely. And then Sunday we went to Fulham to see Liverpool, and we sat with the home side. But Fulham, very friendly place. If you ever live in London and you're looking for a club where the people are all family and nice, I would say Fulham. Now, I know Todd Archer likes Fulham, and they're a fun club, and they're actually a pretty good team. And they beat Liverpool on Sunday. Liverpool is very stinky. And so the 26-match unbeaten streak, we were able to see that live, so that's a treat. Justin was really thrilled about that. But they were so cool because they've renovated their old stadium, and the new side is right on the River Thames. And so after the match, when you think most of these places just want you out of here because you're probably drunk and we just want the stadium clear, they open up the doors, and you're right on this river walk, and they're selling beverages at half price. Like, they're trying to get everybody tanked. And they're still serving food for 3 hours afterwards. They don't want you going to a neighborhood pub and winding down. They want you to stay at the stadium. We'll put the next match up on the screens.
And do people do it?
And it was the most beautiful day in London. The sun is out. It's 60 degrees. And everybody, we were just standing there for 2 hours after the match, let the train stations clear out. And we're just having the time of our life.
Man, carry this over because awesome. I want to talk about it.
It was the best trip.
Good.
It always is.
Good. That's awesome.